What shall we look at this evening?
Press star 6 to unmute. Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi, Jan. I just wanted to run something by you or get guidance, and that is I was looking at giving and what's dropped in as a practice. Well, first of all, looking at how presence seems like one of the greatest ways to give to myself and the world. And so practicing, but I guess I just, it's like I need confirmation or something on this, but practicing stillness and focusing on the space between the thoughts. Is that too general, too vague?
No, too general, too vague. Got it.
Yeah, well, there's, and I guess, you know, maybe it's just conditioning coming and going, as it always does. No.
Right. So let me see if I'm tracking. So you're looking at possibly what it sounds like what's dropped in potentially as a focus for this month of looking at giving is to practice with stillness, with the space between the thoughts. And you're looking at whether that's too vague or not specific enough.
Yeah, because that's in meditation, that's what dropped in. And I thought, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, my heart went right there. But
that's a big clue.
Well, it is, but I guess the only question in it is, there is no question in it. I just got it.
Good for you. You know what it reminds me of, Jan? Did you hear the show this morning?
I did.
Yeah. That place that Ashwini was talking about of following the threads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're describing, you know? So I forget what sparked it this morning. Oh, it was, I wish I could get it because it was fun. But the same kind of thing where it just drops in, you know, in this case, working with stillness and the space between the thoughts. And the heart just goes, you know, whatever. I don't even, you didn't put words to it. And in my experience, there often aren't words to it. There's just kind of a spark.
It's just there. Yeah. I mean, it's just there. That gift of presence. Yeah.
Exactly. And then conditioning kind of looks, well, I don't know. I mean, not really, is that really the, and the thing that's so lovely about that, what you're describing and what I think, at least it felt to me like Ashwini was pointing at with the threads this morning is, so we follow that thread and then there's the next thing and the next thing. And so it's not as if we could make a mistake or we could go down the wrong track because we're paying attention and we're watching and we're exploring and it's all an inquiry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so interesting that, it's almost like, because it just dropped in the meditation I was doing before this call. And so it's, I could have, you know, done it two-handed with it too. But this is what was next. So it's so great. But I'm glad you mentioned the threads because it is, well, it's like everything. What now?
Exactly.
Okay,
what now?
I'm looking forward to this. Thank you.
Yeah, fun. Can't wait to hear you on the show. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
Margaret?
Hi. So I also would like to look at what I've been seeing around giving so far.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I was very taken with what the guidance or what the example was in the prompt of the first day's assignment about looking at saying no to giving of ourselves and our time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's issues around that. And I hadn't seen what all of them are. And then today, what was arising was hesitation.
Uh-huh.
And then when I recorded and listened, you know, to the recording about it, I just saw so much in being a nine, I guess, really, in not being able to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So many times when I was a kid, not being allowed to say no. Like, it was terrifying to say, to even consider saying no to my mom, or, you know.
Sure.
It was, it wasn't possible. And, and then, so realizing that might be part of it, part of some of this. I was looking at stuff like, it's like when I say no now or decline somebody's invitation, it really feels like a failure.
Mm, uh-huh.
And I
so
think
when you,
that's partly, yeah, go ahead.
It's partly, you think that's mom. Partly?
It's because of, like, I'm being a really bad person for,
yeah,
it's, yeah.
And so without even realizing, if I'm tracking what you're saying, that kind of without realizing, it's just starting to come to the surface that there's invisible beliefs back there that are kind of running the show without you realizing it. So maybe they came from when you were little, or who knows where they came from. But at any rate, what you realize is it's now starting to come to your awareness that when you decline something, that there's that, ooh, I'm bad. There's really a sense of having been a failure, I think you said, too.
Yeah, letting people down.
Letting people down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it also seemed, it's one of the reasons, it's hard to find the right words to say this in a way, or not right, to express the emotion and everything going on in practice. I think part of me loves doing this practice and being at the monastery and being involved with Sangha, because I feel like there is no saying no. I can't say no.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that it feels for you like one of the things you really love about being involved with Sangha and being involved with this practice is that we say yes. That's truly, literally part of the practice that we do, is to say yes.
Right. And I get to see the terrifying part of that.
Exactly.
You know,
Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's the...
No, just that, you know, and I, what occurred to me was my experience of saying yes to becoming a facilitator.
Yeah.
When what came up was this huge hesitation or confusion.
Right. No thanks.
And fortunately, I was with a group of other people that were going to be facilitators, and what was asked of all of us.
Uh-huh.
And there's no way. But it's like, I feel like the yes was what I wanted. And
yes,
yet,
exactly.
You know, that. But that there's that confusion and hesitation.
Well, you know, to me, what I'm hearing you say, Margaret, is why it really is such a huge gift to have the container of practice in which to look at our entire life, everything that goes on with us. Because without that, then there's this place of, do I say yes, do I say no? First of all, it's all in a duality, right? And both sides of the duality are going to be conditioned mind, right? And on the one side, you know, we're to the two bad choices, basically, right? On the the one side, you know, I have to say yes because mom said, and I'm not allowed to say no. Well, it would be really easy to see how we would swing to the other side of the duality then and say, I can say no, I'm not going to do anything you tell me, you know, or whatever it is. But all of it is from a place of conditioning and really can be really, really hard to sort out. But when we come to something like practice, where we have that, we know that our heart is being held. We know that everything in this forum is to wake up and end suffering. Everything is for my benefit. Everything is for awakening. And so it's possible to go with that yes and to watch everything that comes up around it. And now we get to actually see what's pulling the strings so that we have a shot at going beyond the suffering that's happening there.
Yes. Yes, and I saw also today, well, it felt like what arose was that I just want to be with her when that's happening. Mm-hmm. And she wants to say no and not do that or go there or whatever it is. And it just feels like it requires, you know, that what she really needs is it's like Sherry used to describe about fear, that we don't want to leave her alone when she's afraid. You know, it's that, you know, that wanting to show up for her and see what actually is going to happen. Because I know I'm going to be surprised from experience.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But you're going to uncover what's actually going on there, right? Because from what you describe, it could be a really great place to have a regular two-handed recording practice with her, right? You know, someone says, hey, here's this opportunity. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to. And every time that happens, to sit down and say, hey, tell me about that. Recorders in the right hand. She gets to say everything that's going on for her about that. Everything. And the thing that's so amazing, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but it you know, it's remarkable how, in my experience, the more that right hand is allowed to say uncensored what's going on, and is there going to be conditioning in it? Yeah, almost certainly. Mm-hmm. But that's completely all right, because if it's all out there, then that recorder is put in the left hand and it's listened to from that place of life, from that place of presence, from the mentor. Then the mentor sees straight through to the actual person who's on the other end of that suffering and can see through all the crapola that, you know, whatever conditioning is saying about it and doing and blah, blah, blah. But then the person who's actually in there gets the direct assistance that she needs.
Yeah. Yeah, that unconditional love. And it's going to be fine no matter what happens if I go with you.
Yeah. So I bet you're right. I bet you're going to see a ton about it as you go through.
I think so. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay.
This is Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, so I've been looking at a process that just really came up in the past couple of days. I decided to do, we're remodeling my son's room.
Okay.
And so it was like, there's a bunch of different stuff, right? It was lights and assembling furniture and all this stuff. But I thought, well, this would be a good workshop, right, to going into it with, okay, we're going to, like I could see the process of, I've done house projects before, doesn't go quite the way I envision it, I get really angry or frustrated, whatever. So this time I'm going to approach it differently and add, like, meditation periods in there.
Oh,
and,
cool. Uh-huh.
And it does sound cool, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like a whole different approach. And well, anyway, go on. I don't want to lead the witness.
No. It's fine. It's fine. It's just it took really no time at all to forget that commitment. And what I'm seeing in it is how I, because I missed 2 days of my sitting commitment. And I missed 2 days of the radio, the morning show, because my son, he was sleeping with us while we were taking apart his stuff. And anyway, but yeah, I noticed how I just got sucked right into that vortex of, no, it's really important. It's nothing's more important than finishing this job, which was the exact opposite of the intention, you know, but it's like, it's super karmic, I guess, for me. It's like,
yeah. And from what you described, let's see how to say it. So it sounds like you set out, you know the patterns that you have,
yeah.
right? The karma that you have around something like this. So you knew, okay, well, almost certainly that's going to get triggered, right?
Right.
So, okay, great. Let's have it be a workshop, which is huge in itself, right? That's
yeah.
so big for that to even drop in and then to set that intention. And so
right.
the intention with that, I would imagine, is to get to see, well, how does that happen? Right?
Right.
How do I end up in this same place, this suffering place over and over? So that's kind of the biggest purpose. Yes, we're going to get to remodel this bedroom, which is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of the bigger thing is I'm going to get to see how this thing happens.
Exactly.
Well, you're getting to see how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think I'm just identified because it, I'm getting beat up because it's like, well, you failed, though, you know.
Right, exactly. But you didn't, did you?
I don't
right?
know.
Because you set out to have it happen, to see how it happens. Now, if you had done this remodel and none of that stuff was triggered, right? That's what the voices are going to say. Oh, good job, right? I mean, not really, right? They'll only
right,
say
right.
that just to pull you to one side of the duality to get you set up for the next time when they slam you
yeah,
down.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But the funny part is, if that had happened, it kind of would have been disappointing, right? Because, oh, shoot,
right.
I didn't get to see how it happens. There's a way in which, in order to see how it happens, it has to happen, which is what's happening.
Oh,
it's happening.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, something just dropped in. Okay. Thank you. Because I see now what happened is with the intention, there's a little bit of hijacking of expectation
yeah.
of
exactly.
I didn't yeah. Okay. I didn't see that piece until now. Yes, so there was this intention, and somewhere along the place, there was kind of like a hijacking of it to say,
yep.
this is how it's going to go.
Exactly, because you're going to meditate, and you're going to, so you're
right.
going to, it's not going to happen. You're going to be so serene, and just, you're going to be the right person through this. It's going to be great. And
well,
that just gets slid in under the radar.
yeah. Super small. So didn't see that at all. That it what happened was it switched from intention to fantasy, and and the fantasy was you know you're gonna it'll be hard and you'll get angry but you're gonna sit and you're gonna and mostly you're gonna take your time, you know, and get you know have a balanced life and the kids will get outside and stuff. Instead, it was like kids get on the computer. I'm working, you know, stuff. So it was like, I didn't see until you reflected that, the fantasy kind of hijacking the intention.
Exactly.
Well, that's good then.
Really good.
Yeah,
really
you
good.
Know, Sherry said something, it was earlier in the week in the morning show that really clicked something for me, and it was kind of the metaphor of with awakening to, you know, to kind of do this work. And in the practice, the metaphor was like we wake up and we're in this house and our room. Yeah, that one, the messy room.
Mm-hmm.
But which you mentioned that other rooms in the house were clean, you know, kind of indicating the work that had been done before. It, I switched over to from a place of, well, why do I have a messy room? Those people don't have messy rooms. He doesn't have a messy room. To being incredibly grateful to the work that has been done before.
Wow.
How I get to be the one to clean up this room. Like, it really turned it into something
wow.
incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Boy, and really applicable to, it sounds like, to the situation you're in, right? Because here's this mess. And yeah. It's almost like, I mean, it's funny, what just dropped in, Tim, was, you know, with the theme we've got this this month of giving, it's almost right. like we've been what's the word, honored with being given this room because we're yeah. up to it, right?
Yes.
So here, let's give this to him to clean up.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see, you know, because that's kind of the other theme that I feel has been, it's like every time I listen to that show or what speaks to me is I'm supremely qualified to be me. I'm supremely yeah. qualified for this role, which is something that conditioning has spent my lifetime certainly arguing and trying to provide evidence right. against. Right. And so, right. so it's kind of like, to me, it's like a couple of different puzzle pieces are falling into place with that because it's not only am I the right person, but I'm the right person to be given this room.
Yes.
I'm the right person exactly. and I'm up to this task. And not only that, I'm kind of stoked to do it considering it's a pretty big house and a lot of work has been done.
Yes, before. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. That's so true, isn't it? I really just saw it when you were saying that. Wow, you see the beauty around you and how sparkling clean that room is and that room.
Right.
And it's just, oh, I can't wait to get into my room and
yep.
and kind of be part of that team.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it, because that's what Sangha is. It's this community where I keep hearing my story told over and over again.
Right.
And I go, right. oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I just... Yeah. Well, that's great. Now,
and then that fantasy that you described of then what conditioning wants to do with that is, and it, so the way it's going to look to clean the room is it's going to look like this, and it's going to feel like this, and you're not going to feel like that, and right. And so when we do, when it doesn't look that way, and when we feel every way it's possible to feel as a human being, then we're told we're wrong. But then we remember, oh no, wait, that's the whole point. We're cleaning up the room. You know, it's the thing Ashwini would say, used to say a lot. We have to encounter what we're transcending.
Yeah, that's good. Because there's this fantasy too, or hijack. I don't know what the word is, but identification with, like, you won't have to feel that if you do it right, which I know isn't true, you know, intrinsically. Yeah. But over and over again, it just keeps trying to come in with that. And angle it in, and you know, the intention was pure. It got hijacked by conditioning, and conditioning wants to say that it's my fault or that I'm the wrong person.
Right.
It's like, that's insane.
Completely insane.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think, you know, my little, you know, after the kids go to bed sitting practice for me is just a respite from all of that. Has really helped create a spaciousness that even though my schedule is the same, I can't really explain it. There's a spaciousness there. After
I know exactly what you mean.
Same like a set of duties, but more space to do it in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that could be a really fun recording to make because you so know it's going to try to take it over. So just that recording of, you know, the room and so excited to clean up the room. And the whole point is that there is a mess in the room and that's okay. That's not wrong. And it's going to, you know, all those things could be really fun so that when it doesn't feel that way, you have that recording to go back to.
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested in looking at what, you know, kind of that process now of how intention gets sort of taken over and turned into something else. I really, I feel like, woo, that's a neat place because I know, I can tell by the sensations in my body that it's not the only content that this occurs
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm like, oh, this feels familiar. So I can guarantee it's going on in other places. So
Sure. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll start to pop up, I bet. Oh, wait, that's it. Oh, my goodness, that's the same. Oh, there it is again.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Renee? Hi, Jen.
Hey.
So I was, I'm really noticing an excitement about exploring areas that conditioning in areas where I'm not having a bad time.
Uh-huh. You're excited about exploring areas where you're not having a bad time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems like most of practice that I've done is to get away from something or make it feel better or, you know, that sort of direction.
Somewhere where there's a lot of suffering, so it's compelling to find what else is possible here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I had a so I've been doing coaching and sticking with the same content. And
oh, fun. That's fun.
Just keep doing the same content, but just a different process. Sometimes the same process, but other times different processes.
Yeah, yeah, and, that's great.
And the content started with it wasn't going well. There was a lot of feelings and frustrations and anger and things like that. And then it switched into more enjoyment and less anger. And and then I said, well, I want to process map that because I could kind of see how. So conditioning was talking me into not exploring that content any longer. Because it was going well.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's very subtle, Renee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's that thing that Sherry's, I mean, it came up, I think, a lot in the email class, but just in general that, you know, ego makes spiritual practice into self-improvement. And so it makes perfect sense that, I mean, once I feel better, it's fixed. Now I need to move on to the next thing I need to improve on.
Right.
Completely missing the point. So to stay with it and to get more and more subtle with it, I'm right with you. That is invaluable.
Yeah. And so I put that out there as my process map content, you know, before the actual first session. And I didn't really know what I was going to map at all. Like, it was just sort of like, this, I'm seeing this part, I'm seeing that maybe it's a setup, which is kind of the first time I really see, or at least first time in memory that I could really see it, and or see that it was a setup when it was starting to tell me, oh, things are good now, don't worry about it, like,
right,
you know, and I think that's what's gotten me off track with looking at that content in the past when I really wasn't completely done with it, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, that's very right, because if we're bamboozled into thinking that done with it is when I feel good, then we really are in the realm of practicing essentially self-improvement, right? Because not realizing that the whole point is to see how the illusion of being separate from life, how suffering is caused. And so whether content is going, quote, well or not well is really completely beside the point.
Yes. Right.
Especially because where is that even coming from? Who's deciding that and from what viewpoint?
Well, it's like that evaluation, you know.
Exactly.
That it's good or everything's good or everything's not good or whatever evaluation is happening. Yeah, so then I did the first call, and oh my gosh, there was so much to look at. Like, I caught voices in the background already chiming in with, you know, this isn't going to go well eventually, it's going to turn into the same thing, they don't like you, you know, just all these background that I hadn't even heard, like,
wow,
hadn't heard it at all until I processed. Started to process map it, you know.
Wow. So you hadn't heard it, but it was back there. It's just that
yeah.
it hadn't come to the level of consciousness. Wow, it's so important.
Right, Yeah, so and so I don't know if that has anything to do with, like, so I've missed recording the new, I haven't done it yet, I haven't done the new focus.
The focus, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then I haven't actually listened to my map call yet, to actually map it out. But there's this new, so before, it wasn't that I didn't want to do it, but it wasn't really like I was excited about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this switch in feeling like
mm-hmm.
I really want to do it to see what else is, like, it more of a, I really, like, you know,
yeah.
a lot of us have talked about that exploration and being excited about it. And
yeah.
I have been excited about it at times, but it feels like this is a lot more, like, I sort of am trying to figure out how to get my, to stop having to see other people or or do other things so I can actually do this.
I just want to, I just pictured that, you know, that story about the Zen student looking at her fish. You know that one?
Yeah.
Where the, right, the teacher asks her to, you know, go in to grab the fish. She goes in for 5 minutes. She comes out. She tells all about the fish. He's like, no. You know, but anyway, whatever period of time down the road, that same, I project, she gets to that same attitude of mind of like, leave me alone. I don't want to do anything else besides look at my fish. There is so much to see here.
Yeah, I sort of feel like that, yes. Yeah, like I just want to not have any other, I don't want to do anything else except look at it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the fun part, I would project what's so fun about what you're doing, where you're repeating the same thing over and over, is that
mm-hmm.
in my experience, is what begins to be facilitated, is that the you become so familiar with that, that it's almost mm-hmm. like, see if I can describe it, it's almost like the awareness begins to be able to expand, and you can be doing anything and you are still looking at that because
yeah.
it's going to come up in everything you do, right?
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't seen that, but yes, I'm seeing it now that you're bringing it up. I can see how that's happening. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it probably will grow and grow.
Exactly.
It'll happen more frequently and more, and
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because with that shift that it's the fundamental shift it sounds like you're describing is one, as you say, from like, okay, boy, this is really hard. I got to look at this because I got to see what's going on here so I can stop doing this and stop having this experience and stop being this way. And right. And
yeah.
so, and we do that and that's, you know, fine. It's not that there's anything wrong with that. That's just where we are when we're there. Right. But then
mm-hmm.
it begins to dawn on you all these other things. And well, maybe I'll keep looking at this even when it's, quote, going well, because it seems like I'm getting set up. So you're having all these clues and you're staying
mm-hmm.
with it. And it begins to facilitate the shift of like, wow, I don't care so much how it's going. I just am so curious the mechanics of it and how it's all working. And how is conditioning pulling that off? Or, you know, what is the, you know, what is that place of being able to be aware all the time as conditioning is doing what it's doing, but I don't have to get caught by it. You know, all those little nuances begin to be available to us and the awareness expands and grows and grows. And then everything we're doing as we go through our lives is an opportunity, excuse me, to practice with that expanded awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, beautifully said. Yeah. Yeah, and that brings up something that in the email class that one of the responses that was written to me was that it's a practice of experience and not hope. And that was quite eye-opening, just hearing that. And that's what that sounds like when you describe all that, which is this is an impossible experience. And as we get those experiences more and more, we want to be in them more and more, not hoping for them.
Exactly.
Planning for them or whatever. Yeah.
That is so true. It becomes our experience more and more, and we know how to practice it. So we don't have to hope that it happens
right.
to us. We know how to train.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. This is Phil. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, hi. I was going to carry on with something within that conversation because, and but the interesting thing was that what one of the things that just went through is there's a book title probably years and years and years ago, I remember the book title though, was called Light, A Light Grasp on Life.
Mm.
And,
a Light Grasp on Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Light Grasp on Life. And reason I thought of that was, and reason I'll connect this story up, but the other day my work partner and I were going to give a little information speech, whatever, to the community, you know, this bunch of sisters there. Mm-hmm. And so there were the two of us sitting kind of, you know, far enough away, and they were all sitting all far enough away, but this was really important, so we had to do this. And we had one microphone, mm-hmm. and we were just in reach. All right, so she'd say something, and then I'd say something, but then she'd say something, and then I'd have something to respond. So I'd reach out for the microphone. By the time I had the microphone back to me, I didn't remember what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
And that happened three times. And I know what it is. It's it comes occasionally, if not a lot nowadays, but it's kind of what we call COVID brain. But
mm-hmm.
and that's what was happening now. But
uh-huh.
But
shall I reflect? Okay, you got it.
No. Well, yeah, it reminded me because I had this something I wanted to follow up on that conversation. I thought uh-huh. it was so good, and so soon as I, you know, pressed and said my name, of course it's gone. But I think it's coming back. But but that thought of that as the light, you know, it's just. I have to have anyhow, and I've had to have for years, a light grasp on life. I mean, it's just got to be a comedy show because otherwise it would be.
I don't know if this is a connection you're making at all, but boy, am I seeing it in what you're saying. That because I haven't had COVID, but I can relate to the reaching out for the microphone and not knowing what I was going to say. And for me, one of the places I really practice with that, I don't know if this happens for other folks, but I just go through these periods of time where the insights are just an absolute avalanche, right? They're just, it's just all the time, right? Everywhere. And it feels like that light grasp on life. Or, you know, what you're describing of, like, taking the microphone and I don't know what I was going to say. It feels like it's on one level, it's completely all right. Because the actual insight, the thing that I was seeing or the thing that I was going to say or the connection that I was going to make is really not the point. And at least for me, the trying to clamp down and remember it and hold on to it seems not helpful. At best,
right, and
to really just have that light grasp and to enjoy the lightness of all of it and the comedy of it and the process of it.
Yeah, and I think that what I love about it is, and I actually do, it's sometimes beforehand it gets kind of, you know, I can see myself the possibility of moving into conditioned mind, you know, oh no, you know, I really want to, but I can't. But what I actually like about it is that there's no choice. I mean, it's just not there. If it's not there, it's not there.
It's just not there. Yeah.
It's just not there. And then how there can be a lot going along with that, you know, where, I could, but I notice I can see it and don't. What I could do is, gee, look at all the way other people can just talk and this kind of thing. And you know, I used to be able to do that, that kind of thing. But I don't, for the most part, go there because I know I've been there many times and it's not fun. And,
it isn't, and it's cruel. It's so cruel,
it is cruel
to the human being, right? Who's in?
Yeah. And
so
I've gotten
we would
into,
never, but, ever do that to someone else.
No, and I really appreciate this human being, so I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But what I think the basic thing that what has come back from part of what I was saying is that, you know, that doing it over and over again, I think that's what I love most about the making the change for good. And
me
I
too.
Did, when even the book, you know, when I used to do it for months and months and months over and over, is that what I see, and particularly more now in this way we're doing it now, but is that, you know, there might be a, you know, last year there were different contents, and this year there's different processes. But the same conditioning just keeps coming up. And that is
exactly.
so cool because
it is so cool.
We can get so familiar with it. At least that seems to be what's happening.
Yep.
To become so familiar with it that, you know, it's like, no big deal, and it's like, yes, I've seen, I know what it's, you know, all like that. And I think that's what you guys were talking about, but I've just seen it over and over again in our daily practices now that we've been doing this for so long, you know?
Yeah,
and
me
it's
too.
It's so helpful.
And it is so helpful, and I just find myself regularly on my knees with gratitude at the depth to which that repetition feels like it's taking us.
Yes.
Because I can't even describe it, but it's like you're saying, where, I mean, I've been practicing for a long time. You've been practicing for a long time. So it's not like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. Although on some level, even that's true. It's just a different way of seeing it. It's another level of seeing it. And the freedom from it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And I swear, repetition is my friend. I'm right with
you.
It is
so helpful. Yes, and that's exactly what you're saying is why it's so brilliant and so important is because there's never the same person looking at it, and there's never the same thing being not the same thing being seen.
Good point.
Because it might be the same piece of conditioning, but it just gets, you know, we get more and more familiar with it, more and more clear about it, more to see so much more about it each time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, I think that's that's basically. But
it's so good.
It is.
Thank
and it's so. just tremendous gratitude.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Really Amen. Thank you.
This is Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Wow, that conversation was so helpful, and it spurred on actually one of those avalanche of all these insights that like it's going on right now. But the spirit, the whole repetition thing was what triggered all of this, because what I've been looking at and sensing is what I kind of call on my recorder my Groundhog Day experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I hadn't remembered that image, but that is perfect for it.
Yes. Yes. And it's the whole COVID thing, right? So we've been here, you know, we've all been in place for months now. In my limited estimation view, it doesn't look like that's going to change anytime soon at all. Certainly not for us at the monastery. And it just feels like the screws are getting put to ego because what I could see, or what I've been sort of looking at, is how just these little changes, like, you know, a trip to visit family every several, you know, four or five months, or a trip into town just for an errand, or these little seemingly insignificant things that would be maybe, or at least serve in some way to be a distraction or something. I don't know really what that to sort of
take the edge off or something.
That's a really good way to say it. Yeah, to take the edge off. And here we are. There's no taking the edge off.
And so there's the Groundhog Day image, right?
Exactly.
So because it's so, that is a really, really helpful connection. So spurred from that conversation about repetition, you were just really seeing how being, quote, locked down, so not being able to go travel, not doing some of the things that you would normally do that seem so insignificant and so little. And yet it sounds like seeing now that those were having some kind of an impact, like a distraction or a taking the edge off, or and now that they're not happening, the screws are really getting tightened down on ego.
Yes, thank you. Because what I just saw when you were reflecting that was that, okay, so here's what the practice has been. Cause, so I can, let's see, so if you were to imagine like a razor's edge, a razor blade, and on one edge there is like, and I've got several of these recordings, another day with wide open space. I wonder how life is going to feel this day, because I don't, you know, it's like, you know, I have some things to do and responsibilities and all that, but I mean, like, spacious, right? And so there's
I missed that word, Rebecca. What was
spacious.
That
word? I was saying
spacious.
Was saying
gotcha. So spacious. Got it. Got it.
And the anxiety that can come with that of not having a lot to fill the time, you know, to go from things, because usually this time of year we are busy. You know, we are hopping.
Right. Bing, 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 bing.
You know, with retreats and everything. And so, so there's that jitter to the system. Okay, so that's on one side. But then what's become available when, you know, is the most exquisite attention to little things like the signs of life. I'll just give you one little example of a million. Okay. I turned and walked up the trail, and there were, you know how those little flies that just, they seem like they're a colony in and of themselves, and they're just flying in every direction, but they never run into each other, you know, those little things?
Yeah, exactly. And they move a piece, right? They together, they somehow, okay, to the left, everyone now. Yeah.
And so, you know, when I turned and saw one of those little clusters in the sunlight, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
There is life.
Yeah.
Right there.
Truly.
I mean, I don't know how this is, you know, I'm just kind of sensing, it might sound odd to be so captivated, but it's like there's life in that is no less significant than any other sign or form of life. And to be the witness to that. So can you see how that sort of juxtaposed against the other way, the Groundhog Day thing that I was, is that making sense?
Well, if I'm tracking. So in other words, there's this whole other rhythm suddenly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially given that this time of year, it would really normally be completely, we could say, the other end of the spectrum. Not only would it not be spacious, but it would be boom, 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 you know, this, then this, then this, then this. So then wake up in the morning, and the one perspective is kind of this like, wow, a lot of time. How is life going to fill all of the, you know, another day with not a lot in it? Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like from the perspective of just present to what is, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but when you talked about seeing that colony, it's like, well, it reminds me of something we used to joke about a few years back. You wake up in the morning, you do a bunch of stuff, and you go to bed.
Yeah.
Right? And from the condition perspective, the stuff you do, you got to do stuff. You know, like,
like steward retreats and, you know, cook a lot and clean a lot of bathrooms, or right? That's
really
what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And be
mm-hmm.
really busy. But being present to the colony of flies and in wonder about that, well, that doesn't count. But mm-hmm. the thing is, it's still all wake up in the morning, be what you be, and go to bed. It's mm-hmm. all the same thing.
Yes. And the element there is, so there's the jitter to the system in the spaciousness. And it's like the attention to the colony of flies is the antidote to that jitter in the system.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, okay. And then, oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
And then attention will wander, or, you know, what do we say? A practice of pure attention. Then it will be less pure attention, right? And it'll be, okay, what now? What? And then I'll see a new life on a plant, new growth on a plant that I hadn't seen before. And I'll be, oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I think it is. It's like the pure attention and then the scattered attention and the pure attention going in and out of that, perhaps, or something. But it's just a really interesting experience. And I wouldn't, you know, but for these circumstances,
exactly.
You know, how would I have ever felt squeeze?
Yeah.
How would I have ever felt the squeeze to attend like that?
Yeah, to have that level. I mean, I can really see why you started with Groundhog Day. To have that level of repetition.
Yes.
Right? Where truly, truly this, because in that, well, and it's to put it together with what Phil was saying, of course, we call it repetition, but there's actually no such thing. Which is what you're getting to experience, it sounds like.
Yes. Oh, yes. That was exactly what triggered it when Phil said that. Because the only thing that it experiences that it's as a tedious Groundhog Day is ego. Because authenticity is delighting in the new growth on the plants or the flies or the spaciousness or the... How is life going to feel this day? You know, it's
we don't know.
And it's not at all a jitter. It's a delight. Exactly.
Boy, I've really been enjoying that piece of it, too. Just how can it be that we get to, just exactly what you described. And it's so perfectly depicted in that movie, isn't it? Because by the end of it, he's like, it's easy to project. I mean, granted, he's so excited when it's tomorrow, right? When he says, "You know what today is? It's tomorrow," right? It's kind of like Phil. I project like, "Boy, I can't remember that. Oh, I just remembered it," right?
Yeah.
But we only remember it when there's that complete non-attachment to remembering. So by the end of it, he's like, "Yeah, I'm learning how to sculpture with a chainsaw on the ice. I'm fluent in French. I speak. You know, I know how to throw cards into a hat. You know, I mean, I know he just has fun with it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that.
Well,
it's like
here's one of two clinchers there. And he loves her just in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's what I get to practice with this human being. You know, in the movie, you know, he loves her. And he's not trying to, you know, pull anything over on her or anything like that. He just, and that's what is the opportunity for this human in this life, in this this Groundhog Day movie, you know, is, look, we're going to be here for the indefinite future, you know, for the foreseeable future. How do we want to be, you know? Yeah, so there's that. And there's one other thing that dropped in as you were saying that I can't remember what it was now. But anyway, if it comes back, I'll enjoy it.
So just that.
Yeah, exactly.
But just really seeing the piece, interrupt me if it does, seeing the piece of, you know, that he's loving her in that moment and that's the opportunity that you get to love her, be with her through all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and there is no other point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know? That's exactly what I was saying, too, that there's a way in which when things get simplified like this, that's such a help because there never was any other point, but it can feel like it. Right. Oh, I got to make that plane reservation. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go. Okay, well, I got to plan this. And, yeah, okay, well, there's that. And, oh, yeah, I can't wait for that. And the point was only ever what you're describing. But yeah. All those things can certainly take away from being exquisitely present to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what a gift, huh?
Truly, truly. Thank you for articulating that. That was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Hi, Jen. This is Joyce.
Hey, Joyce.
And I have just a quick thing. I love being in with this group. I learn so much.
I know.
It's cool.
So true, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
And I had a really difficult thing that I ran into the other day where I was in absolute terror, you know, and my body felt like I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with it. I talked about it. And with some guidance that it was like turning a page in a book that whole thing that went on was not on the next page.
Oh, that's a great image, Joyce. And when we're in the middle of it, it seems like the entire book, and the book is my life, so it's going to go on forever. It's always been here. It always will be. It's always been like this. It always, and then you just turn the page. It's gone.
Yeah. There was a fear of that coming up again.
Sure.
And
I was just, yeah.
Excuse me. The piece that I made with it, with a piece, excuse me, the piece that's choking me,
says, right.
I can see how the teenager was so trapped in that for so long that she thought life would never be good. And having that experience open up and be exposed was like walking into a snowstorm in the spring. It was, it took probably 24 hours to really have it be a peaceful place, but seeing how conditioning had such, I mean, it's like digging a well and throwing that little person into it. So she thought she would never be out of it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, if you know, there's water in the well, soon as the water reaches the surface, then I can just step out. Something like that. I mean, I didn't even know what that is. But
exactly. And Joyce, have you made recordings about the experience of stepping out and kind of the, I mean, these are my words, but sort of that like, wow, and look at the view from here and the equivalent of that?
I haven't because it was just through watching how that was going on tonight in here that I started to see
that
the
you started
pieces.
To see that that's what was happening.
It was like, oh,
well, and the reason,
going on.
Yeah, the reason I ask is, I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, when something that big, I mean, I love that image you used of turning the page. When a page gets turned so starkly like that, one of the ways that conditioning tries to get me back in is, wow, and that conditioning is deep, and it's happened for so long, and I just... You know, that person who, right? And before I know it, I'm either in there kind of back in it or starting back in it or, you know, kind of trying to figure it out. But that place that really people are describing tonight of, wow, look at that. Outside the well, there's life out here. Look at that. That is incredible. And even, I mean, I haven't even really said any content yet, but you can, I project the reason those recordings are so helpful to us is we can hear it in our own voice. We can hear the shift that's happened. And that mm-hmm. is so helpful.
Yeah. That I'm going to
be
that
heard in your voice tonight.
Yeah. I'll bet. mm-hmm. And as soon as this is done, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a recording. Even if I miss my dinner, I'm walking in another room and doing this recording. Still, I don't know how I got into that. But if being in that is changed, conditioning won't have the same kind of chokehold on me to fear going there again.
Exactly. You know, and when you said, you know, God, you know, it wants me to be afraid of going there again, which is the equivalent of turning the page back. Is it still there on the page? Of course it is, right? Right? But we're not going to turn the page back, which is why that recording will be so useful, because it is going to try it. And very likely, I mean, if you're like the rest of us, at some point, it will feel like it's got me back.
Oh,
see?
Oh, yeah.
This is it. It's happening again. But see, that's where the training is. Who were we talking about that with earlier tonight? I can't remember. But that place, that's the training piece of it, right? It truly is a training. So, you know, tonight you get off this call, you make that recording of the view from here. That would be a perfect name for it, actually. The view from here with a capital H. And just record about that. And then for the next, like, whatever, and this is where, to me, repetition comes in, long period of time, like at least a month, you put it places where you run into it, right? You know, on your whatever, in your planner, on your chalkboard, on your whatever the places are, your screen of your phone, or that say, every time X happens, listen to this such and such recording. And meanwhile, you're listening to it anyway, right, at least every day. But so that when that happens, instead of, uh-oh, this is wrong, or uh-oh, I need to figure this out, or uh-oh, I need to process about this, or this is a problem, or I need to whatever. No, you don't, quote, do anything about it. We just go to that recording. We just turn on that recording. And that's the training that we're all doing.
Wow. Wow. Thank you.
Not even expecting any results, right? Right? We don't turn on the recording so that, right? It's what we were talking about earlier. Not so that I'll, Renee was talking about, that's right. You know, not so that I'll feel better. No result. I'm not looking for a result. I'm just training. I'm just doing this thing. That's all.
And maybe I'll see more.
And maybe I'll see more. Very likely.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Thank you. Well,
thank you, Joyce.
Wow. Yeah.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Take care.
No, I will.
This is Ann. Hey, Ann.
Hey. Well, first of all, I just have to say how grateful I am to have group, because we didn't have it last week. And I just didn't realize how, I mean, you know, with all the practice opportunities, it's like, okay, well, no big deal if we miss group, right? But
exactly.
I really missed it.
Me too. But Thursday night, I mean, that's special, right? But each thing really has its place, doesn't it?
yeah. And it just feels so wonderful to be listening to everyone. I'm just so grateful. Yeah. So I wanted to just chime in and participate. Mm. And one of the things I was looking at today, which was just so astounding to me, kind of dovetailing the finishing up the participation theme for the month and starting mm-hmm. the giving theme for this next the month we're coming into, I realized that I in quotes,
mm-hmm.
has no idea what either of those things is or means or looks like. And that when I assume that I know, what's really going on is I'm looking at it through a conditioned lens, which gets it completely wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well put. When I think I know, what the only thing I know there is that I'm looking through it a conditioned lens, and it distorts everything. It gets it all wrong. So it knows, it doesn't know participation. It doesn't know giving.
No, and so it's like, I'm many things. I'm dumbfounded. I'm excited. I'm like, wow, you know, I get to look at what the heck is this thing called giving?
Yeah.
And how do I look at it outside of, how does the word fail? How can it be looked at? How can it be experienced outside of conditioned mind?
Yeah. I went there too, Anne.
Wow.
Because, yeah, there's just so, there's so much to see in it, right? I mean, that list in the write-up, I forget how it was phrased, but, you know, there was kind of, I don't know, 8 or 10 things sort of the conditioned filters that giving is run through. And I just thought, sure enough, you know, and just to realize, wow, how much conditioning takes advantage of that process.
Yeah, you know what I just saw as you were saying that was there was this very subtle process happening as I was reading, as I was reading what we're going to look at next month, which is this month. It's tomorrow, yay!
It's now.
There was kind of a sinking feeling, a sense of disappointment, and what it was this sense of kind of, it's a very similar thing to participation. It's, oh no, I need to give even more.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So it's like, oh, I've got to participate even more. In other words, I have to add another thing to my to-do list. And so then it was just so wonderful to keep reading and go, oh yeah, that's how conditioning defines it. Oh yeah, that's how conditioning defines it. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, and that's not what we're doing. I have to do more of the conditioned version of giving. How do we step outside of the conditioned version of giving and find out, maybe even for the first time, what the heck that is?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, Anne, that's just so good. So reading through the thing and catching a really subtle process that sounds like it also happened with the participation focus, which is conditioning coming in to say, oh, God, now I got to give more. And then, of course, you stay present and you're reading it. And what you realize is, wow, what's actually going on here is we're being invited to go beyond a conditioned idea of giving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like, so many things came up right then. But one, we're setting ourselves up for failure.
Yep.
I mean, conditioning is setting us up
for failure. Yeah, we're being set up for failure, exactly.
We're set up for failure. And all these things that came in just went out again. I don't know what happened there, but it was really good.
It took too long to give you the microphone, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things, and interrupt me, Anne, if it comes back, but one of the things I was seeing as you said that was it's so perfect how, for conditioning, to say, oh, God, I'm going to have to give more. And I just saw how that's what it does, right? It talks us into, okay, now I'm going to give more. I'll be even more the right person. I'll be even, which keeps the focus away from it and on the content.
Yes, which is so great because what we have an opportunity to see is how does conditioning set me up to operate out of a conditioned definition of giving? How does that happen? And what is that? And what are the beliefs on that? And it's just all so, it's just another lens to look at what are the beliefs around what it, you know, that this means something about me, and there's a right way to be and a wrong way to be, you know, all fill in the blank of all the beliefs we have. And this time it's just the content of giving. Or the process of giving made into a content.
Good point. Good point. God, that's funny. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, the process of giving made into a content that then were, as you're describing, made wrong for, right? Then it becomes all the ways I'm not doing it right, or I have to do it right, or I got to try harder, or be more giving, or all those things. And instead, in doing what we're doing together, looking at the process, all of those things come to the surface and get to be seen.
Right, because from conditioning perspective, being present is not giving.
Mm-mm.
You know, for coming from a place of there's nothing wrong has nothing to do with giving from a conditioned perspective, you know?
No, exactly. It's what Rebecca was talking about. I mean, you got to do stuff. You got to, you know, cook for people, or you can't just be in wonder about bugs. That's not giving.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's what everybody's been touching on. It's not about doing it right. It's about putting the microscope on it, or the spotlight on it, so we can look to see how we get set up, or how the karma perpetuates itself, or however we would talk about that. And so, I mean, it's just kind of I don't even know how to describe it. It's energizing to think, wow, I have no idea what giving is.
Mm-mm. Yes, right. Yes, I have no idea what giving is. Yeah.
And from that place, it's kind of like what I have the image of is, you know, you have to empty the cup before you can fill it. And mm-hmm. so if I have any idea that I know, there's no way to see,
right?
Because I already know.
Right. I already know, so I can't actually see, because all anything ever is what's here now. And if I already know, then I'm not here.
Right. I'm coming from the past. Oh, that's a good point, Jen. Yeah. Yes, because if I know, then I'm in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Well, I just thought that one thing about giving is to really be which is so funny, because I just said before, oh, well, being present has nothing to do with giving, but I just saw how being present is totally giving, because I'm letting go of the past. I'm moving into that present of don't know, and I'm so open. It's like, and right there, it's the giving and the receiving at the same moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know, this is an interesting connection that just when you said that, what just flashed through, I've heard myself quote this a number of times, so I've obviously really stuck with me, but something I heard Sherry say recently around the things that are happening politically in our country around racial justice and that kind of thing, and that, at least this is what I heard her saying, is, you know, what people are asking for at base is just to be present. Be present with me as I am, not as a thing, not as a certain color, not as a certain whatever. But we just want each other's presence, that full unconditional attention. And that's what I feel like I just saw when you said that. That's a huge gift.
Oh, yeah. What a gift. I'm not putting any of my beliefs and assumptions of who you are or what it means that you're this or that or X or Y. I'm not dragging all of that stuff out of the past and putting it on you. I'm willing to let go of all of that and discover something that I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I just discovered something about giving that I didn't know. Thank you.
See? Proving your thesis.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a really fun month, because
me too.
I think it's really, I mean, this probably isn't true, but it feels true in this moment. It feels like it's the first time I've really seen the how conditioning steals the process from me and makes it into there's something here that you must do, or you have to do, or, you know, be. I mean, I just feel like it's the first time I've really stepped out of, I have no idea what this is, and won't it be fun to explore that?
And isn't, Anne, that completely back to the conversation we had with both Phil and Rebecca, and how, what an amazing, beautiful thing
after years and years of practice, that we could still have that gift of this brand new thing that I get to see. This whole other level.
Yeah. I just really, and I just echo the value of repetition. It's just so critical. So, thank you so much to everybody, everybody.
I know.
It's just such a jewel to have everybody add their perspective to this amazing sangha. It's just a delight.
Yeah, it really is. That's a great word. It's a delight. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone. And good night.